and welcome to the Forbes India Cover Story podcast series in association with theindicars.com. My name is Abhishek, and this cover package puts India's massive edtech sector under the scanner. And the future, apparently, is not just technology in education, but a lot more. Joining me to talk about what he has unearthed while speaking to a bunch of founders, as well as a few parents, is Forbes India's Rajiv Singh, who's authored the package. Hi, Rajiv. Thanks for joining in.
Hi, Abhi. Pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Your cover spans some of the more happening edtech outfits, including a profitable unicorn on one side. You visited Kota, which is the coaching capital or the cramming capital of the country. You've spoken to a few VCs, parents, a little bit of stress related in terms of what students have to go through to, you know, break through in this madly competitive world. With these themes, what was your underlying pitch and what did you set out to achieve in this package?
Abhi, to be honest, we just wanted to do something different. We have this EdTech special issue every year, but there is always a theme, a broad theme. This year, we were at a loss because there was no one broad theme. If we wanted to do a profitable EdTech special issue, there were not many profitable EdTech players. The biggest happens to be Physicswala. Then there is another profitable EdTech called Daily Rounds, which in 2019 was sold to a Japanese company. So you can no longer include that as part of Indian EdTech, whatever it is. Besides that, there are none. So what we decided was to think of a couple of buckets and divide all the issue into different buckets, multiple buckets. So one was profitable EdTech, other was differentiated EdTech. Third was talking about all those faces which usually people don't know when it comes to EdTech, like parents, like teachers, like students. That was one bucket. Another bucket was talking to all those founders who had failed in the EdTech venture and the ones who were struggling. Nobody talks about them. Nobody writes about them. They're not glamorous, not because they don't have much venture capital raise. Some of them had huge venture capital raise, but most of them couldn't. So all these things clubbed together, we had this special issue, which gives you various shades of EdTech in India.
And you argue that the future is not just online, but that it will be hybrid. And you put Physicswala on the cover. And it has a special distinction to its name in that it's the first profitable or the only profitable unicorn in the sector, is it? And what did you discover when you spoke with Alak Pandey of the outfit?
Only profitable EdTech unicorn, which is interesting because when Physicswala started way back in 2014-15, it started as a YouTube channel. So it was an online thing. It was free. For a couple of years, I ran the online YouTube channel as free. And the only source of revenue was advertisement. After first year of operation, it was always profitable. It started making huge money from advertising revenue. And that's what kept it going. And it became, and finally, when it became a unicorn, which is $1 billion valuation, it did so in its first round of funding, and that too only 100 million, which is peanuts as compared to what Baiju's has raised or what Unacademy has raised or Vedantu has raised. If you talk about the so-called big boys of EdTech who once ruled this world of funding and valuation and all the limelight. So this guy stands out. Interesting part is, it has been just 1.5 years of its offline foray. Now it's online as well, which means traditional brick and mortar, you know, coaching centers. More than 45% of the revenue comes from that. This gives you a why offline is not going to die, why offline is a much bigger reality than what most of the people thought. It definitely is going to be the future, but offline is a much, much bigger reality.
What makes Physicswala in an industry where some companies are shutting shop, a few others have been in the news for the wrong reasons. What is Physicswala doing right? Because the conventional wisdom was, if you are in EdTech, marginal cost of acquiring a new customer is next to zero because you are sitting with all that content and you don't have to worry about any variable cost beyond a point. Yet, it happens to be the only unicorn in the sector. So what is it doing right or what can others learn from it?
In my opinion, what has immensely help physics realize that it had first few years of bootstrap existence. That is important, because once you do that, you realize the value of money. If you get something easy, if you get something which is free, you don't realize it, you waste it. You end up doing a hell lot of experiments which you're not supposed to do. You end up believing in this theory that scale fast and fail fast. All these kind of things you keep doing, and you only focus on top line. You never think of bottom line. Sustainability comes because of bottom line, right? It doesn't come because of top line. A few years of bootstrapped life, I would say, inculcated in this guy, and also you have to think about the background that he comes from. He doesn't come from a privileged background or an entitled background. A middle class family, he always struggled for money. Financial trouble was something which was, you know, second name to Alak Pandey. Always struggled, taught in the coaching centers at Allahabad, stopped offline coaching because he wanted a bigger, larger audience, which offline obviously at that time couldn't have because of lack of technology. Started YouTube channel, tasted success, and after a few years, went offline. If you have that kind of journey, then it makes sense. Then you end up building a sustainable business, which he's doing. But the point is, again, he also has his share of challenges. Because if he also falls in the same trap which his much famed bigger rivals have done, of expanding too fast, expanding too wide, too many experiments, I would say. That's the biggest challenge for physics scholar.
But talking of experiments, Mr. Pandey who tried this, where he had students who could rate their teachers through a QR code, say? Or am I confusing it with some other founder of the bunch
no,
of...
Definitely it is Mr. Pandey who is doing it.
I think what I liked in the story is there was a backlash from the teachers, right? Where they didn't quite like it.
Yeah, obviously, if you're not used to something which has never happened before, then you would resist, right? And then who would want, for example, you as a podcaster or I as a writer, can we give this power to our listeners and to the guys who are reading our stories to rate us?
I think they already do, don't they? They can. But yes, so, when it comes to teachers, I think some of them said that, hey, are we Uber drivers? And then I think his response was, yeah, so what's wrong with Uber drivers? We are in an economy where people can rate each other. And if you're good, you'll stay. If you're not, then the next steps can be taken. So it is quite cut and dried about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And this guy was adamant about it, that he wanted this experiment, and now it's a norm. Let students also be empowered to rate you. You rate students, you give them marks. But let students also rate you in terms of how good you are or how bad you are in terms of teaching. And you can be both, right? Not that every teacher is a good teacher.
And those who wish to be taught under a good teacher or somebody who knows what they are doing are the ones who go to Kota, where you visited for the purpose of this story, to find out how education is out there. I've been there once. There are more billboards than there are birds, I think, in that place, with students and teachers on all the, you know, all these hoardings, where you've got somebody promising you a career in, it could be physics or IIT or even the NDA for that matter. So it's like an education hub. How was the experience? Can you just describe that before we get into what you discovered there and why?
Kota is surreal, I would say. And when I say surreal, you have to just replace the word and add SIR to surreal. In Kota, everything is sir. It's NV sir, KV sir, AB sir, XY sir, ZG sir.
Yes.
Everybody has an abbreviated name. Nobody calls you with a full name. It's always sir. I searched for some ma'ams. I couldn't find any ma'am. It was all sir, 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 and sir. They are the real superstars of Kota. There are no actors. There are no movie stars over there. It's only teachers who are superstars. Obviously, that's a land where dreams are sold. But you know, you can't blame them. There are buyers. If they're selling dreams, then there are buyers as well who are buying dreams. So there is good, there is bad, and there is ugly of Kota. It's not only the ugly part of Kota which is there. It's quite unfortunate when students commit suicide. It's quite terrible when they cope with so much of stress and they live for years under so much of stress. But there is good and the other part of Kota as well.
Out there is, you know, even the likes of An Academy and was it Akash, which later got acquired by Byju's, they have physical presence there for all the wanted prowess of online. They've decided to set shop there because it's too big a market to miss.
Yeah, absolutely. Look at the irony. For all these years, and especially before COVID as well and after COVID, they kept mocking at all the less privileged, I would say, the offline guys, coaching guys. They made fun of them. And finally, who is having the last laugh? They have gone to Kota. They have set up shops in Kota. They are now teaching in Kota. And now they're competing with the much bigger guys like Allen and Motion and all those. And they are no match to their might in Kota, mind you. Allen is the biggest player in Kota. 75% of the students in Kota, around 70 to 75, I would say, they study in Allen. And then another thing peculiar about Kota is that you won't find any student wearing any casual dress, I would say. All have this coaching institute colored uniform. So Allen has got green t-shirt. Kota is full of green. The greenery in Kota is because of Allen. Then you have black, then you have yellow, you have red, you have orange, all kinds of t-shirts, which only signify the coaching institutes.
And you touched a little bit about not everything is dark about the place. They sell because there are buyers. And at the same time, the other part where there are unfortunate suicides. In fact, last week, there was a front page news again of a student taking his life there. You got a chance, Rajiv, even to talk to parents who, sadly lost their son to pressure about a year ago. And for all your listeners, I'd urge you to go read that. It also happens to be among the most read stories from the package itself. I won't delve into too many details here, but what was it like being there with them?
It was a nightmare for me. And forgive me if I won't be able to talk much about it because I can't relive that again and again. I relived twice when I first met them and when I started writing. I broke down twice when I was writing this. It's not easy. It was a first for me as well. I've never written something like this. The idea was to try to meet at least one parent. And I knew not many would agree. Even I was sure that not any would agree. And finally, I managed to get one who did open their heart and had a candid conversation, discussion with them. It's terrible. There is regret. There is remorse. They're not at ease with themselves. They feel terrible for what they I won't say deliberately, but unintentionally they did to their kid. But it's a guilt that they have to live with now. And it's a terrible thing when you have to spend your life with that guilt.
And I think I'm sure you would have got emails and calls from parents or folks who think it was a story that should have been told, doesn't get told very often, in that what happens and why it is important. Because what's happening today, Rajiv, is when you look at prime time, whether the IPL or these big maybe reality shows, the advertisements, or at least during the pandemic and soon thereafter, were all about edtech. Do this, otherwise your kid will be left behind. Or at the higher levels, secondary and then college education, IITs and IIMs have always been a bit of a pressure cooker. And that's the story was, important.
Pressure cooker is okay. But when you say pressure cooker has a vent, right? It has a whistle. Unfortunately, the pressure cooker that we are talking about doesn't have a vent.
Mm.
And that's the dangerous part. Because when you don't have an opening, it blasts. And this is what has been happening. And then everybody, if you look at the tech founders, most of them, I won't say all of them, if you look at parents, if you look at VCs, everybody was under this thing called FOMO, fear of missing out. If there was easy money on the table during 2021, if you remember, there was too much of funding in the startup ecosystem. There was easy money on the table. And if you're not spending, your rival is spending. So you don't have any choice but to outspend your rival, right? Because everybody was in that rat race, that scramble to get more students, to increase their top line, to grow aggressively, to do whatever it takes to get students. So there was fear of missing out for founders. There was fear of missing out for VCs as well. Obviously, they're looking for that one golden bet, one silver bullet. So they will back all the guys. They will look for the one bet. And parents, they have perpetually lived under this fear of missing out. They missed out. Most of them missed out. And the ones who didn't miss out and achieved something, still they are living under FOMO because of peer pressure of what is happening. Somebody's son has made it to IIT, somebody's daughter has become a doctor. And then there is a different kind of peer pressure that they deal with at the later stage of life. So at every stage of life, there is a FOMO which plays out. Now it's totally up to you whether you want to live with that FOMO or you want to skip that FOMO. Nobody can make you understand that, but it's totally your choice. But if you do that, you pay a heavy price, and you don't end up only paying a heavy price. Your kids end up paying a heavy price.
True, Rajiv, and in terms of those numbers, they were staggering in the investments. Some $572 million is what had flown in just a few years ago in this sector, which reached $2.5 billion is what you write during, I think, 2020-21, that time. So
This
yeah.
was all equity funding. I didn't include all the debt funding. So imagine.
True. And before we wind up, Rajiv, I think everyone's asking this in that the bigger edtech players, none of them is making money. A few of them are in financial troubles. If these big players go under or are threatened, what would it mean for the industry? What would it mean for the smaller players or those don't make that kind of money but are there?
When was the last time you heard that enemies started praying for the survival of their rivals? This is exactly what is happening in edtech. I spoke to so many edtech players, smaller, medium-sized, big ones, bigger ones, I would say. Let's take example of PhysicsWallah. The guys, he really doesn't want competition to go away. He doesn't want anybody to fail. There is actually a genuine fear in this ecosystem that if the so-called big boys collapse, or something goes wrong terribly, the entire edtech will be staring at an uncertain future because nobody is then looking at them. The credibility would be lost. See, education, what all of us forget, it's not a, you might look at it as a business transaction, but this is a business of a very different kind. It's the foundation is based on trust and credibility. It's not easy to gain trust, but it's very easy to lose it. And if that trust goes away, the foundation goes away and the entire building collapses. So there is a prayer on the lips of every edtech, small, medium-sized edtech player that nothing should go wrong with the so-called biggies. If big trees fall, they will have an impact.
There will be some collateral damage, is what you say. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Rajiv, for writing this package and for giving us a little bit of a glimpse. There are a bunch of other stories as well, listeners. We haven't given it all away. So urging you to all pick this issue up. Thanks a lot again, Rajiv, for your time on this podcast.
Pleasure was mine, Abhi. Great talking to you.
Thank you so much. All you listeners, you can get this podcast on ForbesIndia.com or any other app that you use to download your podcasts and to have someone call you for a Forbes India subscription, message Forbes to 51818.